Good morning, everyone. Nice to look out and see everybody and lots of new faces. Looking forward to getting to know you. I was saying at the 9 o'clock service, I'm really encouraged by what is happening in missions, with missions in our church. I would guess this year alone, our missions portfolio is doubling or tripling this year. I asked Marcia, I said, in the last 12 months as a church, what did we give to missions outside of our city and outside of the people we're reaching here? Just to strictly to the poor in other countries and to outreach in other countries. She came back, she said $84,000. That's what you gave. That's not us. Okay? Marcia just does the bookwork. It's not her purse out of her pocket. Okay? Or part of it is. You gave $85,000 to missions and the poor just in a 12-month period. And I want you to be encouraged by that. And, yeah. And we want to just see that continually. It wouldn't be great if one year we just sat and we just had a party and we said, that year we together as a church family, we gave $1 million to the poor. You know, and just feel like, well, we're really mean in business. And so every one of you contributed to that and made that possible. And that doesn't even count a lot of our efforts that everything from Sunday school here to youth group to junior youth to 55 plus, every one of those has an outreach dimension. And have people who don't know the Lord coming and listening and being affected by that. And so it doesn't even affect all of that. Also really encouraged to see some of the teams that are going out. You know Alan Mills. I don't know if he's here this morning. He's one of our elders. I said at the 9 o'clock service, you think that Bill Calderwood has been here for a long time. Alan Mills was part of the selection committee that chose him. And those of us that know Alan have never seen him more fired up for missions than right now. He is so passionate and he is getting ready for an extended trip back to the Philippines. If you haven't read his thing that he wrote in the this kind of monthly RL magazine, take a look at that. And he is so excited. And I just find that amazing that someone who's been in our church that long, you know, from our leading the charge into missions. They want to go, he wants to go for months over there now. And great, and Bill likewise. Bill, our founding pastor, and as opposed to kind of fading into the distance, he's just leading the charge right to Burkina Faso into missions, and that's great. And so there's just lots to be encouraged, and every one of you, you have some area in our church to lead the charge into, every single one of you. So please do that. I'd like to. Do you want to say something? I can't say all those nice things about him and then not give him the pulpit when he wants it. I'll help you out.
The first missions conference I went to was in Toronto at People's Church. And if any of you ever heard of People's Church and old Oswald Smith, who was one of these daughtery old characters that did mission work. But their church's budget was planned to be one half missions, one half for the local church. So 85,000 compared to probably 300 or something is not quite half and half yet. So keep that in the back of your mind.
Absolutely. Well, that's well said. Can't say all those nice things and then not let him give him the pulpit when he wants it. I'd like to, in a moment, take a reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 13. And I'd like to begin a strand that I just picked up a couple weeks ago. I have a limited amount of time to give to that this morning because we're then going to open the baptismal tank again. Trust that there'll be some people here that have made that decision to follow Christ in the waters of baptism, which is to say that when you go into this water, there's a complete immersion of yourself. From the head to your toe, everything gets wet. And that's a way of saying, Lord, from my head to my toe, I want everything in my life to belong to you. Everything that doesn't belong to you, I want to leave it behind and let go of it. And I want every part of me to be to be given over to you, that there's no part of my life untouched by you. As much as this water envelops me now, I want to be that much enveloped by the love of God and the person of Jesus. And so there's just been God just is stirring people's hearts in these days to follow Christ, to give their hearts to him. People are just so willingly wanting to obey him and be baptized. And so I want to make space for that again this morning. Just before we take our reading, I do want to say that this is part of my larger series on the kingdom of God. We've looked at numbers of scriptures in detail through the course of this year. And so a couple Sundays ago, I just wanted to zoom out a little bit and take a look and say, what does the big picture look like again? I like those kind of pictures in life. They help me to navigate in life. And so 2 weeks ago, I said this. I said that there are three priorities which anyone who takes the kingdom of God seriously will place in their life. These are three priorities that they will take seriously. I think they come hand in hand with taking the kingdom of God seriously. We might also want to word it this way, that there are three priorities which the Holy Spirit, whose passion is the kingdom of God, three priorities which the Holy Spirit is seeking to promote and heighten in our lives. And remember, just a couple weeks ago, I talked about those three. And I'd like to just to touch on them again through this scripture. So let's take a reading from John chapter 13. I think because it's a little longer text, what I'll do is just kind of, instead of read it all at one bunch, we're just going to kind of work our way through it here. Of course, it's a well-known passage of scripture. It's Jesus washing his disciples' feet. And he washed their feet just prior to the Last Supper. Of course, every time we have communion, we celebrate the Last Supper. And so this is all part of that picture. It's a part of the readings that we cover and a very important passage of scripture. Father, as we give our consideration to it, please give us hearts to hear. Please give us ears to hear. Oh God, by your Spirit, speak to our lives in a way that will matter beyond 12:30 today, that will remain in our heart and affect the way where we put our steps all through the course of this week and beyond. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. John chapter 13 opens like this. It says, it was just before the Passover feast, and Jesus knew that the time for him had come to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, and now this next phrase is a very important phrase, he now showed them the full extent of his love. Now, what does that phrase mean and what does it mean? It doesn't mean that at this point he's going to increase his love for his disciples. It doesn't mean that he's going to love them now to a greater extent than he's loved them before. Jesus has always loved his disciples and his love is unchanging. So tomorrow he's not going to love you more than he does today. And if you do something right the next day, he's not going to love you more than when you had a bad day. It says this, he's going to show them the full extent of their love. He had always loved them that much, but he is none this guy going to open their eyes to see, to realize for themselves just how extensive that love is. If you had asked the disciples up to that point, does your Lord love you? Of course they would have said yes. How much does he say love you? Of course they would have said plenty, lots. But do you realize how extensive his love is? Well, we're learning that. So he's going to show them the full extent of his love. And the question that follows quickly on the heels of that is, how did he show them the full extent of his love? Because most of you there today probably know this passage of scripture. In other words, you know what's to come. It's the passage of Jesus washing his disciples' feet. So sometimes we read the passage of him washing the disciples' feet and we forget this phrase. In other words, the way that Jesus showed how extensive his love is this, how low he was willing to go for the people he loved. That's how he showed them. There could have been so many other ways that he showed his love. But if he wanted to show how great his love was for them, how absolutely extensive and vast. The chapter teaches us this. How low he was willing to go. How much of a servant he was willing to become. How much ahead of his own interests he was willing to put the interests of them ahead of himself. And that's the extent of his love. So let's follow that through. The evening meal was being served. The devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal. This is the full extent of his love. Took off his outer clothing. Wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and he began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Now, when he said this, it's not just in surprise, it's almost in repulsion. Because in the day in which Peter lived, the host of a dinner table, of a dinner evening, doesn't wash your disciples' feet. You've got servants for that. You've got hired hands for that. That's a lowly job in the social order to do. And so when he says this, this isn't said in kind of brightness, oh, you're going to wash my feet. It's said because it's kind of disturbing to Peter. It's alarming to Peter. He shouldn't do this. In the order of things, you don't do things like this. It's against everything he'd been shown. It's against everything he'd been taught. It's against everything that had been modeled for him. You're not going to wash my feet. Wow. You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand. Peter is like saying to him, this is what you get a hired hands to do, Lord. And when I think about foot washing, I mean, sometimes we have foot washings in churches. And I think they're a good thing, but it's obviously not quite the same as this day. You know, what is entailed by foot washing? And why does Peter seem to be so disturbed that Jesus would get this low to wash his feet? Well, my understanding of foot washing is that it involves several things. Of course, it involves cleansing. That in a day of rudimentary sandals and a day when there is no sidewalks and streets, people will have come to the end of their day and their feet would have been extremely grimy. And so you have a hired hand, a servant that comes out and washes that off of you. And Peter doesn't really understand this because he doesn't want him touching his filth. You're my teacher, you're my Lord. You don't touch my dirt, don't touch my filth. And I wonder if in a way that we're all a little bit like that. Jesus, we love to come to church and we love you to show our love, but there is some no-go areas in our lives. And if we don't have no-go areas with him, maybe sometimes we express those no-go areas with one another. I'm happy to sit here, I'm happy to worship, but I don't want you to know my wounded areas. And I don't want you to know the areas that hurts. And I don't want you to know the areas where I'm struggling. And I don't want you to know the areas where I've got blemishes. I don't want you to know my dirty feet. But something about a true Christian community is that one of the facts about it is that we are going to get to know that about one another. You're going to get to know that about me, and I'm going to get to know that about you. And so the question is, isn't we're going to get to know that, but whether we have a community that's safe enough and that knows how to handle and manage that with one another. And there's something within all of us that says, don't get near my feet. Don't touch those areas of my life. Don't get near my problems. But the truth is, he is going to get near those parts of us. The truth is, he wants to get near those parts of us. And the truth is that if we are a true community, we'll get even close to those parts in one another's lives. And Jesus just wants to humble himself and get low and says, you know, I want to do this for you. Just get low and wash. Just get low and wash him. And of course, he says, you don't realize now what I'm doing, but later you'll understand. Because of course, in only a few days, he's going to go to the cross and he is going to perform the ultimate act of servanthood. He's going to be raised up on a cross, but in so doing, he is going to get lower than he has ever went before. He is going to be treated in a more derogatory way. He is going to be slandered. Every evil thing is going to be said about him. He will get lower than he has ever positioned himself before, and in so doing, show the greatest extent of his love. The greatest extent of love is how low you're willing to go for someone you love. And the reason it so disturbs Peter is because he calls him Lord. That's not what lords do in his mind. That's not what kings do. It's not what sovereigns do. Sovereigns put themselves up. Sovereigns exalt themselves. They don't get low for those that, and it just is not what Peter is expecting. But not many days hence, Jesus Christ will go to a cross, and he will go there as the ultimate act of servanthood so that he might cleanse us and wash us of everything that keeps us from him. So he did it to cleanse. I think there's also something in addition to that about refreshing. There's something about cleansing. But this is an act of hospitality. In the ancient world, when servants were posted at your door and you're having a special evening, so that when people come to your door, they are treated with the highest and the utmost of respect. They are made to feel like they are welcome in your home and you want to refresh them. So any of us that have spent any time in hot countries, and especially in the developing world, you know it's like at the end of a day, you can just feel a little bit dirty. And so to be able to come into someone's house and put your head under a tap and wash your face and wash your hands, and in this instance, just wash your feet, you just feel like a new person. And that's what this was about. It was about cleansing, but it was more than about, it was about invaluing. It was about showing that if you're a guest, you're going to give the highest treatment to a guest, and that you are going to refresh them at the end of a long and weary day. I love the proverb that says, he who refreshes others shall himself be refreshed. Do you seek to refresh people? To say, I want to be an agent of refreshing to people I meet. The Hebrew word for refreshing, it's literally translated, he who waters others shall himself be watered. So whether that's to give a drink to someone who's thirsty, or in this case to use water to refresh and wash someone off, he who refreshes others, who waters others, shall himself be refreshed. Let's go on in our text of scripture here. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Oh, what strong feelings. Jesus says, unless I wash you, you can have no part of me. Unless you let me do this, you've got to let me serve you. You've got to let me do this. This is how it works. We are never going to be joined together in the way that we're meant to be. We're not going to walk together in the way that we're meant to walk unless you let me do this, Peter. So then, Lord, Simon Peter replies, oh, Simon Peter, I relate to him. He's a bit of an extremist. So now he jumps, he wouldn't even let the Lord wash a little bit of him at his feet. Now he jumps to the opposite extreme and says, okay, then not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Do it all. And Jesus answered, a person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. Jesus said later on, you are clean by the word that I've spoken unto you. Peter spent 3 years under the teaching of Jesus' word, and it just had this washing effect on him. Okay? Just had a washing effect. So the only part that had picked up dirt on him is his feet. And I find that I wish I had understood this truth earlier in my Christian life, because when I became a Christian and I asked Jesus to come into my life and forgive me, what it was just like a hot cleansing bath. Every part of me, from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. But then I found that if I tripped up or made a mistake, got a little bit of dirt on me, there were sometimes I thought, just like Peter, I thought, first of all, I was like, don't get near me, Lord. I've made a mistake. I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed. Don't even come near me. Don't even speak to me. You're not going to like what you see. So then you'd kind of understand this, that you can't do that. So then I'd run to the opposite extreme. I'm not even a Christian anymore. I'm so dirty. I probably lost my salvation in this, and you probably don't even love me. Gee, Peter. He's probably saying, Todd, you've had a bath, you're clean. It's just like you picked up a few specks along the way, like relax. And I wish this truth had just been sown into me a little bit sooner. Because we're having a baptism this morning, there may be some of you this morning that said, heck, I want the whole bath. This is where that's identified. When you first come to Christ, you get a whole bath from head to toe. Just everything from your past, every blemish, everything. When you decide, I want to follow Christ, I want to give him my whole heart, we represent that wholeheartedness through baptism. So if you're here this morning and you say, just heck, I'm in for the bath, then this is a good place for you. But if you've known the Lord for a long time, just let him wash your feet and refresh you. Let's go on to the next and last slide. Just wanting to leave time for the baptism this morning. It said, for he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you, he asked. Do you understand what this whole foot washing thing's about? You call me teacher, and you call me Lord. And rightly so, for that is what I am. Teacher, capital T, I'm your supreme teacher. Okay? And then he climaxes with these words. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. And again, if I'm right in picking apart a little bit of what foot washing means, then there's some deep messages in here. If foot washing means more than just occasionally just bringing out a bowl and physically washing someone's feet, and if it entails a lot more than that, then look what we're being called to. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should wash one another's feet. Do you know, I actually think we're called to participate in one another's cleansing. Like, not that we can forgive one another, but I'll say this. For years, walking as a new believer with Christ, I found that when I messed up, it's really tough to talk to somebody. And I think that I lived most of my Christian life in those early years, well, for a lot of years, just feeling like such an abject failure. And as the realization of God's grace and all of that meant began to come to me, and I realized he's a gracious God. He's so gracious that guess what? When I mess up, he just wants to come again and lower himself and wash it off me. In other words, he comes as a servant. Not like this saying, you know, you've done wrong again, I'm going to beat this truth into you. No, I'm going to come and I'm going to wash this off of you. As that truth began to come into me, it was so liberating to my heart that I said, I'm going to look for everybody I can do when they're in a tough spot, and I'm going to try to do the same to them. So when you have a friend who's struggling, what do you do? When you have a friend who just know they've messed up or they feel like they have, and they just need a bit of cleansing, what do you do? I'll tell you one of the things I do. I go looking for them. I know that there's going to be a few moments of awkwardness at first. So I just go right up to them, and I want my face and my body language, everything. I go looking for them in the town. I want it to say, yeah, I know what happened. But I am with you, and I'm for you, and we'll walk this out together. Come on. Come on, we'll just come under the tap together. We'll just let him cleanse us together. So he says, if you've watched the way I've come and washed all the filth off you, you should do that for each other. So sometimes there's a tendency when someone's struggling thinking, oh, I better not phone them. I better not go see them. I better not do that. And I just turn my face and go straight up. So then afterwards they know there's not an awkwardness. And this is what the Lord does for us. So, you know, this week, maybe there's a few phone calls you could make. Maybe you could show up with a Tim Hortons coffee and say, I'm aware that you've been struggling. And guess what? So have I. Or I've certainly had my seasons. And I'm no better than you. You want to walk this out together? And without even a hint of condemnation. And what might that do for somebody? If it doesn't just mean cleansing, if it means refreshing, then this week, what could you do to go refresh somebody? And you just know, it's been a long, hot day for them. Not just a day, it's been a long, hot season for them. You know, maybe you're here today and you're thinking, actually, it's been a long, hot season for me. It's okay for you then to say, Lord, I just need some refreshing. Because this text shows us he loves to do it. If you need some cleansing, it's okay. He loves to come and cleanse. If you need some refreshing, he loves to come and refresh. I just take this, I pray over this this chapter all the time. And just say, Lord, I just feel like life has just been like a long, hot day in the hard sun. And I could use a little bit of refreshing. Can you just greet me at the door with a little bit of warm, cool water and just refresh me? And so this week, who could you refresh? Do you know, with just the right words. Just the right gesture. Just the right act of kindness. Just the right compliment. Just the right act of love. That would just make that person feel like, wow, it's like they gave me a cup of cold water on a long, hot day. Beautiful. And what about hospitality? You know, this is, we overlook the obvious. This is how they showed hospitality. This is how they welcomed people into their home. And I just want to thank those of you who have been so open to open your home to one another, open your home to new people. The amount of people that have come to me says, I was only here the first couple Sundays and someone invited me back to their home. But can I encourage you to keep that up? I'm praying about the next autumn and I'm thinking, Lord, I think I need a bigger house. I got this wee house, which I've really enjoyed. But I actually want to step up and show hospitality. Part of showing the full extent of your love in this text is showing love to someone in your home. Inviting them there, refreshing them. And I'm saying, Lord, I need to take that a bit more seriously this coming year. Last couple of verses here. Verse 34 and 35. And I'll close on this. He says, a new command I give you. I regret saying that sometimes I treat the teachings of Jesus like it's recommendations. Like Jesus saying, here, I have a suggestion for you. I think your life would be better if you do this. And I do not treat it like commands. In other words, him saying, anyone who calls me Lord, this is what I want you to do. And here's what he says, love one another. And when he says love here, what he means is love like I just showed you. It's a big word, love in a self-sacrificial way. Love in a way that cleanses people. Love in a way that refreshes people. Love in a way that shows your value on people. Love in a way that gets low and lifts them high. Love one another. As I have loved you. In other words, what standard of love should we have on our love? What kind of love should we show? As I have loved you. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. I think I mentioned a few weeks ago, I've made some mistakes with this. I think there was years ago where I felt like the church wasn't doing enough job in the area of all men will know, of outreach. And so there were times when I just felt like, you know, I just didn't do enough with the church. I did not have it central in my life as I ought to have. And so guess what happened? All my efforts from outreach, they were limited in how fruitful they were. It wasn't that I was insincere or ingenuine, but they were limited in how fruitful they were. Because there is something of divine order here. Number one, as I have loved you, that's the first priority in the kingdom. Let God love you. And you love God. Loving God is the top priority in the kingdom of God. Be loved by him and loving him in return. Number two, as I've loved you, you must love one another. And if you love one another, by this, your outreach will be fruitful. By this, when you do a mission, it's going to bear fruit. It's going to be anointed. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. I'd like you just to spend a minute in in prayer for me, with me, please. Just to have a moment of quietness, when I was meditating on this verse a couple of weeks ago, I felt like the Lord really impressed this onto my heart so deeply that I couldn't escape from it. A new command I give you. Love one another. And my response would probably be, Lord, I do love people. But I feel there's a fresh challenge to my own heart. But do you love them the way I've loved them? You lay down your life for people. Will you get low to lift them high? Will you wash their feet? And Todd, if you will, if you'll love like I love, then the coming season of outreach and harvest is going to be so fruitful. By this, people are going to know. And I'd like us just to spend a moment camping on that, just praying. Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but to serve. If you've known the Lord for any length of time, why do you come to our church? I did not come to be served, but to serve and give my life a ransom. Why do you make friendships with other Christians? I did not come to be served, but to serve. And give my life a ransom. Why do you run a ministry? Why do you run a Christian business? I did not come to be served, but to serve others. And give our life as a ransom for them. Can we just have a moment for somehow some transaction in our heart where we see, Jesus, we get the message of your teaching. We get that it is not a suggestion, it is a command. We get the fact that it means something to me and not just the person sitting beside me. As you've loved me, so I will love those around me. And then just ask him, what does serving people look like? Just ask him. Serving people around me? Just ask him, what does it look like, Lord? When people don't have sandals and they don't have dirty feet physically, what does washing people's feet look like? Could I surprise people around me by how low I'm willing to go to lift them high? Because Peter was surprised and shocked and even disturbed. Could I surprise and even shock people around me by the lengths I'm willing to go to lift them up? One of the reasons I share this today, I don't share it because I think we're not a loving church. I think we're a very loving church. I share it because as we do more outreach and as we do more missions, which is all wonderful, don't lose our foundations. We love God, number one. So don't find we're doing so much outreach, we don't even pray anymore. We're not even spending time with God. That's our first priority. Ahead of church, ahead of mission. We love God. If we're ever too busy to love God, we are too busy. We have lost the plot. We love God. Number two, we love God's people, the church. And we love them in this kind of way. And yes, we see one another's blemishes. And we help wash each other. And if we do a really good job of those first two, if we're very authentic in them, the whole world will know. Our outreach will be blessed of God. And anointed and fruitful. Hallelujah. Lord, give us those three priorities in our life. Number one, we love God. Make it a priority. Number two, I love God's people, which includes my own family first. But it doesn't stop there. It's my second priority in my entire life. Zeal for my Father's house has consumed me. And number three, I love God's world. The people God is reaching, I love reaching them. I love their company. I love their personalities. I love the way they tick. I love them. And so do you. And that's what we're about, is those three things. If you're here today and you just think, well, I'm not yet, but I want to be about those three things. I want to love God. I want to be part of one of his people and part of his people. And I want him to use my life to make a difference. In short, I want to become a Christian. In the full sense of that word, a Christ follower.